game.
Bang. What is up, my pizzas? Corey Vincent here. Video game bang is in the house. It's a Saturday. I'm so excited to be here after a day of reflection in the mountains of Auburn, California. It was nice to get away from video game technology and then come back to it. I feel like I have so much, a new lease on life, and I can't wait to share all of my experiences in excruciating detail with my friend Emma Skies. What is up?
Hi.
Wow.
You,
wow.
You came in not like your regular self. What's going on, Emma?
I'm very tired, and I'm pretty sick.
Wow.
And you had a big day, though. You had your class. How was class?
How was school? I rallied and talked for like an hour about foam.
I feel like Emma's like one bonbon short of going off on us tonight.
A little bit. We just gotta find something that's really gonna piss me off, and I'll just like fucking flip the table and I'll be awake.
Well, that's why this guy is here, Filmlosopher Eddie. What is up?
I don't know about all that.
I'm not scapegoating him right there.
I'm not looking to piss off him. In fact, you know what? We've had some really intelligent and great conversations, and we've probably added more to this podcast on the episodes that we've
intelligent.
Had.
Intelligent.
Thank you.
I don't know if that word means what you think it means.
Okay.
Don't try to throw my joke back at you. Don't take my joke.
Yeah. Well, see, I like that joke, and I wanted to see if I could. I wanted to try it on for size.
No.
It didn't fit. It didn't fit.
Don't you take my joke that I stole from The Princess Bride?
Well, if it makes you feel better, I will allow you to use one of my great jokes.
No, thank you.
Curtis, what's up, man? How you doing?
I was gonna say, does he have a great joke?
No.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah. He has great theme songs.
Thank you.
I'll give him that.
Borrow a theme song.
Emma did not agree. I don't know, man. I wasn't having like a transcendental experience out in the nature.
The natch.
The natch. As we like to call it.
I don't know if we want to go that way, but
can't go the natch.
I tried it.
Stop trying to make
fetch work. We can't make that happen. No, it was a good little thing. I got a little camera and tried my hand at photography.
Hold on, you said you were away from technology. Corey's
idea of like fasting away from technology is him still having his phone and a camera on him at all times.
Well, so you commented to me on Instagram today, like you.
Well, you know, there was good Wi-Fi signal in the woods.
That's the oxymoron of it, isn't it? Posting on social media. I think I'm going to take a fast from technology.
I'm wearing a Twitch t-shirt, a Twitch backpack with my digital mirrorless camera, sending photos from my camera to my phone.
While doing videos live with this Snapchat glasses
vlogging
and everything.
And shit. Yeah, it was really good to be away from technology.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
Out in the middle of the natch.
Yeah.
I hate this.
What do you hate about it? I want to know more about foam. Oh, the class, how did it go?
I mean, it was good.
These happen at Oblivion Comics and Coffee
every fourth Saturday of the month.
Every fourth Saturday.
Sometimes there are five Saturdays, which we figured out for next month. But yes, every fourth Saturday of the month at Oblivion Comics and Coffee, I do a little cosplay class.
What's the next one?
Wigs.
Ooh, wigs.
I'm very excited.
I've been waiting to get to wigs. I know much more about wigs than I know about foam.
Wigs.
Gonna snatch some wigs.
There we go.
There's some internet.
There, we've said it. Thank you.
There's some internet speak for you.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. Is that like a Jerry Springer thing?
Jerry.
You're all so old.
Dang.
Kind of. Fossils are here.
Speaking of old, we've been doing, you know, different topics. You know, we've been changing it up. We've been shaking it up for the Saturday shows. If you guys have been paying attention, little Easter eggs out there. We've been playing more games. And it's been great. You guys have been giving us great feedback. We want to hear from you guys. So if you guys like the games and want different kinds, and you guys could give us your opinions on Twitter at Video Game Bang. You could type them into this chat right now on twitch.tv/video_game_bang. I love it when someone who's been listening to the podcast for years will sometimes just drop into the Twitch chat and be like, hey, just made a Twitch, wanted to see what the show is all about. Those are the best kinds of moments. You can hang out with us on Discord, too, if you can't get enough Video Game Bang. And our sponsors, Oblivion Comics and Coffee, Sacramento's number one spot for comics and coffee, Vast GG, Mainframe GG, and there's a lot of GGs in the gaming world.
There you go.
And I think that does it. So, Emma Skies, lead us in our discussion. What do we got this week?
We're going to talk about something very upsetting this week.
Oh.
It's going to hurt all of us. It's video game movies.
Oh,
wow. Hold on.
Wow.
It's going to be a...
There we go.
It's a dirty word.
It's a hard one. It's going to be very
difficult. Watch your mouth, Emma Skies.
I'm sorry.
This is holy ground. How dare you?
And, I'm very sorry. It's just there are no good ones. There are no good ones.
Well,
hey,
let's not get premature here, okay?
Ones?
I mean, technically, we're going to have to talk about some of them.
What's good? You know, anyways.
What is good in the existential sense, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, but we're going to talk about the worst of the worst and the best
of the worst.
There really is no best of the best here. Oh.
That does kind of break it up a bit more, because then we were talking about it off air before we went on the went live, and one of the questions that I had was, so are we going to be doing movies that are adapted from a specific video game, or movies that have to do with video games in general,
like Wreck-It Ralph,
like adaptations of video games, so like something like Wreck-It Ralph or Pixel, God Help Us All, or
Ready Player One
are things that exist in like a gaming territory, but they're not based on games.
Right.
So they're kind of like they're off in this discussion. They're over there. We're gonna leave them alone.
And truthfully, I don't know. There's actually are those better than the video game movies? Because I think Wreck-It Ralph is okay.
I actually have a theory. So the theory of mine is that the fact that we have such a huge dislike for direct video game adaptations to movies is the fact that we've already exhausted everything we could imaginably see for that particular character to happen in our own mind through playing. So seeing someone else's interpretation of, oh, I'm going to do it just like this and do it like that, we're not appeased because we're like, well, yeah, I did that in the game, and I also made her do this, or I made that character do that, and I had this awesome little cutscene or whatever. I think we've already exhausted the amount of imagination we want to expel on the medium itself, such as this property, such as Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider is a great example. You talk about Tomb Raider, and there's obviously several iterations. You have the Lara Croft Tomb Raider one with
Angelina Jolie.
Then you have the newer one,
Cradle of Life, and then the Alicia Vikander one.
And there are different viewpoints of it. The first one was a little bit more focused on the actual game, the first game. The second one was more on the physicality of her and her abilities. And then the third iteration is a little bit more closer to the actual gameplay, almost shot for shot in some scenes.
Yeah.
Lucky for us on this topic, we have a bona fide, he went to school and he's a filmlosopher. So he has a podcast that is also on our website, the VGB Studios.
That's right.
Him, Eddie, you are Eddie. Chad, and Spencer.
You, yourself, and Eddie.
You, no, yourself.
That's another podcast.
I see what she did there. But it's a great show, and so we got the specialist because our boy David Webb is not feeling too well. So thanks for stepping up to the plate and joining us on a topic that's actually fitting.
Well, this is always fun for me. It's always like that whole coming back home kind of thing whenever I get a chance to be on.
Yeah, you guys
so.
Recorded in this studio for like the first year just about.
Yep.
So where are we going with this, Emma Skies? Where do we want to start?
So I figure we can kind of start with our personals. So each of us has our own personal worst video game movie ever made, and the best, the not so bad.
The one we
like the most. We'll say that. The one we like the most of all the bad. And then after that, I have a list here pulled up of like just Wikipedia's, list of video game movies.
Okay.
And it's so helpful in that it has the Rotten Tomatoes listing of all of them. So we can go over what's the lowest rated of these and what's the highest rated and see what the people think is good and bad, and how wrong are they?
That's mean.
And as we're going, let's try this. Let's engage with Chad on this one a little bit more. So
sure,
if you guys are listening to this one, we want to hear, type a full paragraph, if you will. And no, seriously, like get into detail. If you tell us which one you like, give us some details and we'll probably read it on the show.
Use the MLA format. Make sure all grammar is correct.
Are we going to start with the worst though or the best?
I like APA.
So we could steer.
APA also works as well. MLA is what most businesses take. So
yeah, whatever.
What are you guys talking about? Is this?
Go to college, man.
Miss me with that shit. Right, kids?
I think we should start with the worst. At least we'll start with the ones that we gripe about
the
most.
Did I ask you, Filmlosopher Eddie?
I'm telling you.
Did you see a fucking sign on the door that said Filmlosophers filming now?
I didn't see the VGB one.
Oh.
Hey, he's not wrong.
All right. Good point. but are we going to start with the worst ones? Emma's like,
Yeah, no, that's good. Because, I mean, I feel like that's what we're all itching to talk about anyways.
Oh,
what is the fucking worst? Eddie, why don't you do the honors? What is your worst video game movie ever made?
You want to jump into that one right away?
Yeah, right away.
So And I told Corey this. I didn't want to get like super cliche with the worst video game movie adaptation, because there's a couple out there that people are already like moan and groan and gripe about. I mean, I'm not going to get into them because they may be somebody's here. No worries. But there are ones, and everybody knows them, that everybody goes on and on like, oh, this is the worst, or that's the worst, or this is the worst. I can probably think of one that I don't think anybody here has, and that's like Street Fighter, the first one. Like everybody moan and groans about how that one is so bad and this, this, and that. But I personally have to say that my worst video game adaptation viewing experience for a film has got to be The Postal. 2007's Uwe Boll's The Postal, which is by far not just as a film, but even during the time that we were as a nation and how we were responding to certain things and our take on just, you know, global affairs and things of that sort. The Postal was just wrong on so many different levels.
So for those of us, or those of you know, people here and people in chat that don't know, watch us just how offensive this movie was.
The source material was terrible.
Oh my
this
gosh.
Is one of those games that, like, Steam would ban and then unban. Or, you know, it brought a lot of controversy on the Steam marketplace, I believe. It's all about going postal.
Yeah.
The game is pathetic. Like, it's awful. It's terrible. There's no redeeming qualities.
Essentially, these individuals, these postal workers, are using weapons and whatnot and are a part of this cult that's going after the Taliban and trying to kill the Taliban and Osama bin Laden. In 2007.
Mm-hmm.
6 years after 9/11, mind you. And honestly, the whole movie is just so wrong, but I can just say two words that should sum it up as to how bad this movie really is. Cat silencer.
Wait, what? I don't know. What is that? A
cat silencer.
So like a device to keep a cat quiet?
If you're thinking about postal and you're thinking about when people go postal, they usually shoot.
Kill the cat? Yeah.
So, well, no. If you're going to use a silencer for a weapon, it usually is to suppress sound.
Yeah.
So in this event,
oh my gosh,
he uses a cat.
Oh my gosh.
To suppress the sound.
Oh no.
Yep.
So the movie just tried to pick up where the game.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, shoved it up the bum.
Oh god.
Ironically, the way the scene ends, the cat
survives.
The cat survives and walks off. I don't know. I don't know.
So I didn't know this movie existed until today when I was looking
through
my
various
other ones. I lived a better life before I knew about this. Let's just say that. I was a happier person. But so I was reading the synopsis on like Wikipedia or something, and it said that the movie opens with two hijackers in a cockpit that are arguing over how many virgins they'll meet in heaven.
Yep.
They end up through the course of whatever deciding that they don't want to die and they're going to fly to the Bahamas instead. But then the passengers on the plane like revolt and force them to fly it into the World Trade Center.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
6 years after 9/11.
Yep.
6 years after 9/11, and this is what they
get. Which, mind you have to keep in mind, Uwe Boll is one of the worst directors in the world.
Although
he thinks he is an auteur in the cinematic realm. He thinks he is the best thing since sliced bread, which we all know that's Betty White. Either way.
Uwe Boll will come up often this episode.
Yes, Uwe Boll is just, and we'll probably talk more about it since that, but yeah, he's just horrible. If you have a chance to look at him while you're in chat, check him out on IMDb and see kind of some of the stuff he's done.
Meow.
So I will say, Postal has a 7% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, and it is not the lowest of these.
No.
No way.
No.
What?
There are multiple movies lower than
below
Postal.
7%. Is this the fan one or is this the critics one?
It's rotten, like the overall.
Just
rotten
the overall.
Tomatoes, yeah.
Oh shit, that's.
I think
low.
I think it's critics.
That's low.
So,
all right.
Curtis.
I don't think we could top that.
No, I'm not. I'm definitely not topping
it's bad.
That. This one is not as depraved as that one.
You're going to go a little lighter right now, just kind of mellow out this whole conversation.
Just a little bit.
Like, we offended the nation with our movie.
Yeah, I'm only going to offend people that ever played NES system with a relative and never played Double Dragon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Double Dragon was such a fun game.
It was a super fun game. I still play it to this day. Super Double Dragon.
Wait, where do you play it?
On an emulator.
Oh, okay. This is on one of those, like, fucking talk about HD remakes.
Oh, no. Not yet. I got a feeling. I wouldn't be surprised if they did one, but... no, it was just a simple game, and like there's not a lot of backstory to it. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it is one where you know whoever the writer was, you know, they had an opportunity to expand it. But this was back in what 1994. Okay, so we know kind of what the climate was for kids at that time. Like ninjas were cool, and video games were just beginning to get cool. We did have. I mean, and we'll probably talk about this later, but not that it was based on a video game, but we did have video game movies like Tron, which were good and were cool, but at this time, marketers, you know, like, were just looking at kids like, what are they into? Oh, yeah, they like fart jokes and, like, and martial arts. Yeah. Oh,
no. Three ninjas.
Three ninjas.
Three ninjas.
Surf ninjas.
Surf ninjas.
Which, those are good movies. I mean, well, they were bad good movies.
But, yeah.
But they were enjoyable. I was gonna say. Double Dragon... I mean, oh my God! Like they made this ridiculous story that didn't need to be part of it at all. Like Los Angeles had like broken, and they were like in the future, in New Los Angeles, and it was like overridden with gangs. And the boys, Double Dragon is about two brothers. I want to say Billy and
Jimmy.
Billy and Jimmy.
Jimmy. Okay, yeah.
Is it really Billy and Jimmy?
I think it is Billy and Jimmy. I remember they were red and blue. That was their colors.
That's all I knew. I just knew it was red brother and blue brother.
Red brother. That's all. But
player one, player two.
Player one, player two. And you know, they like I think it was one of their girlfriends like gets like punched in the game. That you know, like she gets mugged, and like here come like the bad guys like kidnap her, and then they like go to like find her and like. You know, whatever, rescuer. Typical
classic.
Old. Yeah, classic yep. old.
Fucking typical.
Yeah. Games hadn't evolved. story, I mean, humans as a whole society had not evolved quite yet. We were on our way. But they took that, and that's luckily in the movie, that's not exactly what they did. So they didn't go the typical route, but they tried to be a little too ambitious in this futuristic world with like bad sewage.
Which, mind you, the movie actually is. "Quote unquote" takes place in 2007.
No so, way.
Oh, no.
So futuristic. But I think too as well, like with Double Dragon was coming out at the tail end of what was popularized during the 80s, which were those like real fighting movies, those like the Steven Seagal movies, the Chuck Norris movies, the
John Woo stuff.
We were saying best of the best.
Yeah, best of the best.
A lot of those things, and bringing something where you could bring both the demographic of kids who love the video game and adults who love those action style movies and try to put them together.
Well, look at the actors too. Like this was the hot people of that generation.
Oh, yeah.
You had Alyssa Milano in this thing. Scott
Wolf.
Yep.
From Party of Five.
Mark
Billy.
Mark Dacascos.
Yeah, yep. My man.
Mark
like,
Dacascos.
Yeah.
On paper, this thing is a knockout. And it's, I think they also have like an advantage. They should when there's not much like story in the game. Like,
right.
You can do with whatever you want.
And that was the problem. they were a little too ambitious and made up this crazy story about like the two pieces. There's like a dragon medallion, and if you get the two pieces together, you basically have like godlike abilities. And Robert Patrick, who played T-1000 in Terminator 2, he's the villain.
Which he looks ridiculous in the movie.
He does. He looks utterly ridiculous. It looks like they basically tried to spoof Vanilla Ice.
To make Vanilla Ice a villain. Picture this guy. No way.
Yeah,
and he looks like even scummier than like Robin Thicke.
Why does he look? He looks like he's
about to rob a song from Milli Vanilli.
He looks like a douchebag frat boy in a costume as Johnny Depp.
There you go. Yeah.
That's exactly what that looks like.
That's pretty accurate. But anyway, they just totally screwed it. And like some of the worst things I remember about it is like the ridiculous animation. They basically turned Robert Patrick's character into Jim Carrey, the mask.
Yeah.
Once he like got the two pieces of the medallion. There was a really cool twist. I did like how the maker of the medallion, his daughter ended up being the ones to like go and find the brothers because they were kind of like orphans and kind of like be a mentor to them. And she imparted a lot of like courage and like morality and gave them a sense of
purpose.
But this
being a movie you didn't like, it sounds like you liked it.
I know, you're romanticizing it.
I'm like, hold up. We were roasting and then he's like, but you know, I really got a lot out of it. Yeah. You know, I was just like.
Ever since this day, every time I see
right? It reminds me of the relationship that we used to have with my mom. And just really built on a lot of stuff. I mean, I hated the movie, but it still made me feel good about myself.
It touches me deep down. It's very intimate places. But here's the thing. Like, I mean, ultimately, there were I think that's what makes it so bad, really. They, like you said, they had an opportunity to kind of run with it and make it their own thing. Mm-hmm. They just ran too far, too fast. And I think they put on a blindfold before they started running that direction. So they kill all of that goodwill that they built up with some creative writing with just terrible wackiness, like 90s ridiculousness, Ace Ventura levels, but not as entertaining. So Double Dragon,
worst movie for you.
Easy. Like Ace Ventura, but not entertaining. How does it get worse?
You know, does not compute.
It does not compute. You have to see this movie, and that's the only way you'll understand. Because once you see it, you'll be like, oh, okay, yeah.
Do you not like Ace Ventura, Pet Detective?
No.
Oh, you did not like Ace Ventura.
It's generational. I'm telling you.
I was going to say, it is a generational thing. Because like for us.
I don't like a lot of like stupid comedy. I don't like stupid slapstick comedy.
I usually don't either.
I mean, that's feasible. I can see that.
Yeah,
I don't know if I could watch it as an adult, but as a kid, like that was kid culture. Every kid was like talking with their butt, you know, and doing.
Hello,
somebody, stop
do
me!
Do you have some banaca?
Yeah, exactly.
Put me in, coach. I'm ready.
I hate it. And I think it is.
And I think it is. I think it's like one of those generational things because, like you said, we saw it when we were younger, so we were already into that kind of stupid stuff.
Yeah,
but
seeing it later,
she was still.
I could see how someone would not be. Yeah, not be with that.
Not to mention, they also made a cartoon series for it too.
They did.
Yeah, which was terrible.
Oh yeah.
That movie, that's one of those that did not need a sequel. That didn't need an Ace Ventura 2.
I don't know. The second one was pretty good.
Oh, no. I'm like,
you have no idea how many times I tortured my brother just by touching my eyeball and tweaking like this.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, what are you doing? No.
Guano.
Guano.
Yeah.
Terrible.
That'll be the next weekend episode. We'll just do all our bad impressions of Jim Carrey characters.
I'm going to be sick.
All righty then.
I'm going to be very sick next weekend.
So, speaking of bat shit.
Oh, let's get into that. Is it my turn now?
Yes.
Go.
So, this comes as no surprise because it's been on my brain like crazy lately. But the worst video game movie adaptation I have ever personally seen is the Dead or Alive movie.
Right.
Oh, if you didn't know this, there's a Dead or Alive movie.
Wait, you're so polarizing with this franchise.
It's a horrible movie.
It's the worst franchise, but it's your favorite, and it had a movie that is probably pretty bad, but
it's bad.
But it's your least favorite.
It's bad.
Is it because you expected more of it because you like the franchise?
No, it's a bad movie. Yeah. I knew it was going to be a bad movie.
It's low budget
and everything.
You know
going into it. I did want to throw out, though, before we get too far off Double Dragon.
Yeah.
Double Dragon is 1% better than Postal.
Hey!
Oh, there you go.
8% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Only because of the goodwill of the people who watched it.
Yeah. Alyssa Milano and Mark Dacascos are both 4% of that
8%. They're both part of that 0.5% that brought it up.
Yeah.
So, the Dead or Alive movie is absolute garbage.
It's pretty bad.
So, we're talking about the 2006 one, right?
Yeah, okay. With Jamie Presley.
Yes.
And
I love Jamie Presley.
Yes.
Which makes all the sense in the world. It's just a bad movie. It's like, I don't understand how this movie had a $21 million budget.
Whoa!
Because it looks like the budget was $21.
It does.
Like, it's so... Curtis, you've seen it.
Oh, I saw it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Corey, I think you're the only one here that hasn't seen it.
No, I haven't even... I could safely, happily say I've never played a Dead or Alive game.
Really?
Or seen this movie.
It's horrible.
Just be careful what you guys say about Jamie Presley, because...
garbage in this movie.
Whoa! Yeah. God, don't say that!
Garbage.
Don't talk about her
Everybody in this movie is garbage. Yeah. Like, the story doesn't make sense. They tried to like put a couple different storylines from the game into it. The ninja storyline, which I think they kind of tried to make the main storyline, doesn't work at all.
Uh-uh.
The girl that plays Kasumi is horrible. I think she's like Steve Aoki's
It's
cousin or sister.
No, it's his sister. Yeah,
Devin
Aoki. Yeah, Devin Aoki. Yeah, that's his
sister.
She's
terrible.
Yeah,
she's awful.
She was really bad in it.
The girl that plays Ayane is really bad. They tried to make that whole storyline with Kasumi going to find Hayate, but it doesn't. It doesn't. They just. They messed everything. They made everything bad. They made everything bad. Like, you could take. You could take a game that's bad and like a story that people hate already,
mm-hmm.
and just make it worse. Like, how? It's just a. It's a very poorly made movie. It's a very poorly acted movie. They made sure to throw in a volleyball scene.
Of course.
Yeah,
I mean, you cannot have anything that has to do with Dead Alive without a volleyball scene.
Let's remember, the scene ends with a ninja star being thrown into the volleyball to deflate it. That's how they're like, we don't really know how this is going to end, so we're just going to throw a ninja star at it, and then she runs away. And that's how the scene ends. If you ever want to get an idea of how bad this movie is, watch the Dead or Alive volleyball scene from the movie, and you can just get a feel for the editing of it. It's really bad.
The editing was horrible too. It makes the storytelling of the story so much more and I watched it a few times. But you end up with a lot of headcanning fixing the story mm-hmm. for them because it's terrible. I forgot that Eric Roberts was
Eric
in this
Roberts,
movie.
The master of being in every independent film that does not need Eric Roberts, has Eric Roberts.
Was Dennis Rodman in this movie?
No,
I don't think he was.
Okay, because that was the only thing I couldn't remember. Yeah.
I don't believe he was in this one.
I just played the volleyball game for the first time. That was a trip. I forgot that he voices Zach for a while in those
really?
Games. Yeah, he voices a character in the games, and I was curious if they put him in the movie. Apparently they did not. So this came out in 2006. So Dead or Alive 1, 2, and 3 had mm-hmm. come out. Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball had come out.
Yep.
And it was pre-Dead or Alive 4. So it came off the huge success that Dead or Alive 3 was. And then they just made this absolute garbage.
So I, not having seen it, had the impression just from the marketing that it was a volleyball movie. So I didn't realize that it was just one scene. Because every time you ever see a screenshot or anything, it's them on a beach.
Of the actual game itself as well?
No. In the game, I knew it was a fighting game. I knew it had volleyball ties to that, too. I'm just looking up images from this movie.
And the posters are all terrible with, the Photoshopped explosions yes. in the background.
It's so bad. The graphics were...
And, it's never the right... it's never the same person in the foreground. Nope. In some of them, Helena's in the foreground. You're like, why is she the poster child for this? And then sometimes it's Tina, and sometimes it's Christy. And Christy doesn't make any sense. Oh my God. They took a character like Christy and gave her a male counterpart so that she would have somebody to work with. And I'm like, that doesn't exist in the games because she can't steal things on her own, I guess. She needs a male counterpart.
Oh my.
Why is Ludacris in this movie?
Is he?
Yeah, I'm seeing.
Who does he play?
He must have been on set at the very least because I'm seeing photos of him with the actresses.
Well, it was around the time, too, when.
Did he do a song on the soundtrack? Maybe?
No, Fast and the Furious 3 was filming, which Ludacris and Devin Aoki were both in.
Right, that's true.
Okay. So they may have probably been in a close nearby studio.
Yeah, I don't see him on the cast list or anything, but I'm looking at the main poster for this movie has Kasumi in the background and Christy in the foreground. And I'm why? You took too many storylines and tried to make them work together, and none of them work individually, so they're sure as hell not going to work together.
Someone in chat is saying that the movie couldn't be that bad because it had the WWE wrestler Kevin Nash in it.
Kevin Nash will do anything if you shake a bill in front of him.
Yo!
So let's just be honest.
His makeup was god-awful in the movie, too.
Really?
Who is
another
he?
Thing
that
was terrible
I'm
about
not seeing
it.
Him.
More than likely, he probably plays guard or some sort.
Oh, yeah, no, he's Bass Armstrong.
Yes.
Oh, no. So, he plays Tina's dad.
Wow, I'm looking at these photos. This is so good. Kevin Nash with white or long blonde hair.
It's so bad. I don't understand how you make a movie this bad.
He's been in quite a few movies, though, and not terrible. He was in Ninja Turtles. I think he was Super Shredder.
He was Super Shredder.
He was the Super Shredder.
It was horrible. So this movie had a budget of $21 million.
Damn.
It made a whopping $7.5 million.
Ouch.
All probably globally. All from probably worldwide sales, not domestic.
However, it is much better than both of your shitty movies. It got a 33% on Rotten
Tomatoes. Well, thankfully, we are amazing. Talking about worst movies, right?
I was going to say, are they winning? Is that
right?
I'm just saying.
Because technically, then, I'm still in the lead, isn't it?
True. I can't fathom how this. And this isn't even one of those where it's so bad I want them to remake and do a good. You could not do a good Dead or Alive movie.
No.
You couldn't.
No.
And they knew that going in, too.
You can't... I don't understand how you take a fighting game and make a movie out of it. Like,
well, I'll tell you that.
But, like, still, it's just like...
Yeah.
Don't do it.
And I think that's the other thing, too, because even, like, the actual DOA game, like, the premise of DOA is not great, but the game itself, like the original games when I played them, it was actually like had good fighting game mechanics.
Well, I mean, let's be honest though, like nobody played that game just in the beginning just for the story or the gameplay. They're like,
except for Emma.
Let me rephrase that. No guy, was actually willing to play that game because of the story play. They're like, what? Boob engine graphics, everything else. What?
We're turning it up to 11, bro.
The thing that sucks is like there is actually a story behind all of these fighters. I think you get a more in depth version of it in the Ninja Gaiden games.
Okay,
but it is in there. The Ninja storyline is by far the best out of all of them. But there's interconnected storylines in all of these games.
It has to be
that nobody knows about because nobody can get past the fucking boobs.
Nope. Yeah,
and when you can make boobs jiggle from like 20 stories down to 20 stories below, I mean,
that's a pretty big obstacle.
That is a pretty big.
Keep in mind, Dead or Alive 6 releasing March 1st.
There we go.
Go buy it.
So we should get paid for that promotion, by the way. Yes,
Corey. What is your least favorite video game?
I'm going cliche. I'm going with the goat. It's absolutely the worst.
It is the goat.
It's actually been mentioned in chat too.
Is it? Mario Brothers.
Because it's the GOAT.
The Super Mario Brothers movie adaptation. John Leguizamo in his peak, no less.
Man.
Yep.
Is there such a thing as John Leguizamo's peak?
Yeah, The Pest. Great movie.
Oh, The Pest. Come on, man. Spawn.
Spawn? Yeah, he was great in Spawn, too. He had a little run in there.
What is he? The Annihilator or the...
Annihilator?
Annihilator. He calls himself the Annihilator.
Mm. I do want to point out, this is technically a Disney movie.
Yeah. For sure.
It's a Disney movie.
Disney distributed
it.
There was an insanely good YouTube video. If you guys have 30 minutes.
Wait, by who though? Who is it by?
Gaming Historian.
Yeah, the last time I was on, you were really on a kick of them, so
it's good to hear consistency. It's so good. No, it's a great channel in general, but he has like a 30-minute video that very well documents not only that it was a failure, we all know that, but exactly why it was a failure. And for me, it's such a tragic story of like meddling from the studios and then the game developer and like the man.
Yeah,
you know, is what really killed
the man.
It got rewritten a whole bunch of times. The actors all had they all drank during the filming.
Mm-hmm. You have to when you're making a movie this bad.
Yeah,
how do you get through the day?
I guess the directors were like a husband and wife.
It was a married couple.
A married couple that like I guess fought amongst each other a lot, and they were openly just mean to everybody. So the actors had a miserable time. What's his name? Broke his hand. Bob Hoskins broke his hand during the film. It just when you see what happened behind the scenes. You almost can like the movie in a bad, like, Sharknado kind of way.
Yeah.
Where, like, oh, this is so bad, it's funny. But then when you see, like, how miserable everybody was, you're like, oh, this was just a shit show. Like, there's nothing, no redeeming qualities about it. It's not like The Room where the guy had, like, no money and a weird budget, you know. Tommy Wiseau making shit happen with nothing, you know. This is, like... just a bunch of rich people fucking with our shit, you know? Like,
can I point out a funny quote I found in the Wikipedia article for this?
Please.
In a 2007 interview, Bob Hoskins spoke critically of Super Mario Brothers, saying that it was, quote, the worst thing I ever did, and that, quote, the whole experience was a nightmare. In another interview with The Guardian, Hoskins was asked, what is the worst job you've ever done? What has been your biggest disappointment? And if you could edit your past, what would you change? His answer to all three was Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, the actors stuck with it. They really hate it. And they did a lot of dumb things. Like, when they finally get on those suits at the end, you know, it's on the movie poster. It's pretty dope, but everything before, after, and even during that part is just complete shit. They should have, like, a little awful-looking Yoshi thing. The Goombas are all, like, giant, like, lizard dude things.
Yeah.
Like,
they're, like, mushroom-shaped huge behemoths.
Yeah.
It was weird.
So I've never seen this movie.
My gosh.
Yeah, seriously. I have no desire to see this movie. I don't want to punch myself.
I mean,
like that.
It is a rite of passage. I mean, you have to, at one point in time.
This movie came out before I was born.
Think about that for a minute.
I'll leave that alone for a second.
Let that sink in.
So I'm fine not seeing this.
You know what's crazy is that from what I hear, and I think there's websites out there that have the original screenplay.
And you can the actual original.
Through its beginning to end, there's an entire website just dedicated to how awful this movie was. And you can see the original screenplays and then see who edited things to fix it. Wow. And then how many times it went through revisions. And they say that originally Luigi was going to be casted by Tom Hanks.
Oh, yeah. My God. Dodged a fucking bullet.
I think so. And I think another one on the list was, I think it was, It's Always Sunny.
Danny DeVito?
Danny DeVito. They wanted him, but he turned it down. He wasn't interested.
Smart man.
So I'm looking at the plot for this. I'm just like scrolling through the wiki to see what this movie's about. And the plot description starts about 65 million years ago. No, I'm out.
What?
I'm out. No.
65
Wait,
million
is it one of those in a galaxy?
Yeah, it says 65 million years ago, a meteorite crashes into the Earth, killing the dinosaurs and splitting the universe into two parallel dimensions. Yeah,
That's right.
So it starts out that way with the meteor hitting, creating the two parallels, and the meteor being underneath the construction site where they just happened to where at the same time, the Daisy, is actually trying to do this archaeological dig and stumbles upon where this meteor is at, but the construction site wants to take over, so she gets Luigi to help her like figure something out and take out the meteorite or something, which then transports them to the other world where the Earth has been actually ruled and ran by dinosaurs as they've evolved and cohabitated with humans to create this hybrid of man slash lizard, which is what
for people listening who can't see it,
which is what Bowser is.
Bowser, okay.
Which is played by Dennis Hopper.
Oh my God.
And he's got like his hair is like bleach blonde down the side to
it's
look
like
that.
Flesh cornrows.
Yes.
Oh,
it looks terrible.
No.
Yeah, it's so bad.
And he has
you're
a thing.
He's like, what's wrong with your head?
He's got a thing for Daisy. Man. And it's a lot.
Good
it
Lord.
Is a lot.
Yeah, even that scene, like this the scene where he was with her, it was
super creepy.
Yeah. Oh man.
And Daisy's dad is this fungus that is stuck in this like upside down vacuum. Because Bowser turned him into fungus and de-evolutionized him back to primordial ooze.
You like?
I'm just telling you.
It's so terrible
to find out that the meteorite piece that was on Daisy's necklace when she was dropped off as an orphan is the missing piece that will unite the two worlds from the both parallel universes. And so when inserted into the meteorite, will combine and fuse the two worlds, which Bowser is trying to get her to get the piece so that he can merge the worlds.
Oh so remember God. When we were talking so about
horrible.
Like
horrible.
All the creative liberties they had, you know?
Yeah.
This is where they just took it and ran with it.
Yep. I think it's worth pointing out that there is currently a Super Mario Brothers movie in development.
We'll see.
It
I mean,
can't possibly be worse.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I think that's contingent based on how well or how badly Sonic the Hedgehog does.
In my truest form,
gonna
be so bad.
Because
it's
if they're going to be making a true to form adaptation of a simpler and more basic type of video game, this is kind of their litmus test in order for them to say, all right, let's serve this to them and see what they think, and whether we eat it up or we tear it apart, that's going to be the yay or nay.
I don't
for
like his skinny little fuzzy legs; they scare me.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Have you seen? Side note: has anybody seen the mashup of the Sonic's legs to the genie's body?
No,
yes!
It is so awesome and it is so hilarious.
Oh,
so,
Will Smith!
I did
genie.
See the
Will
mashup
Smith genie.
Of Will Smith's genie face on the opera singer from The Fifth Element.
Oh,
that works. No, I could see that.
Oh, that'd be so awesome.
Oh, that looks so horrible.
So, okay. Super Mario Brothers got a 14%.
Hey!
So, winner is.
You. Winner is you. You had the lowest score.
The worst
one. The worst one.
Absolutely.
You said there were some that are even lower. What are those?
So, let's go. What was lower than 7%?
I'm pretty sure that entire list is just all directed by Uwe Boll. Like, don't even.
At 3%, we have Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Oh,
I was saying, I was like, that one just, yeah.
That's not deserved.
That is extremely deserved.
That one was terrible. It was horrible.
God awful.
You got to release your animalities.
Oh, my God.
It had Nightwolf.
They had two different Raidens in
this one.
They had two different Raidens. They had the first one from, they had the first one from the first film at the very beginning of the movie, and then it transitioned to a whole different.
Christopher Lambert, and then yeah, and then it went over to the other dude.
To the dude who's done every other like low budget film as well. Like he was like a police officer in Blade 3. That's the only thing I remember.
You know,
he was in The Warriors too.
The second one, like I don't care what you guys say. As a kid, I was in the right place in the right time. I was in that small little margin of people that that movie appealed to.
Mother, you're alive. Yes. And soon you will not.
Sindel?
Yeah, Sindel. I remember that fight scene at the end was just kind of sick where they're like on those pyramid things and the heroes come up and it's like they're about to throw down. And I loved all that.
The only incredible, great, reasonable thing that actually came out of Mortal Kombat Annihilation, the electronic remix of the original theme song.
Oh, see,
that's where that came from.
That alone should give it
that's
another percent.
That's the only thing that came out.
Half a percent.
You're mine.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat!
God. Also sitting at 3%, House of the Dead.
House of the Dead. We both
saw it.
That's him again, yeah.
At 1%, Alone in the Dark.
Uwe Boll.
I'm pretty sure that's also
that's
Uwe
the one
Boll.
With Christian Slater.
Yep.
Mm. Oh, yeah. No. Christian Slater's... How does that guy still get work?
That was in 05. So he was not, you know, it's not like he was some starving young actor.
Oh, yeah, okay, exactly.
At 4%, Blood Rain. Also
Blood
Uwe
Boll.
That's Uwe Boll?
That's,
I have seen Blood Rain.
Blood Rain...
The
part
first one.
Okay.
The first
yeah,
because I'm like
not Blood Rain, the Third Reich. Not that one.
I didn't
the
see
Third
that
Reich
one. I
and
saw
part
the second
two
one.
Were, go yeah. ahead. Continue.
Let's
we're,
see.
We're trailing down this list.
At 4%, In the Name of the King, Uwe Boll.
Yeah, with Jason Statham.
Yep.
Jeez.
A Dungeon Siege Tale.
That's the whole title, by the way. That's the whole title. Say it in its entirety.
Oh, yeah. In the Name of the King, A Dungeon Siege Tale.
Oh, my gosh.
This one isn't not applicable. It doesn't have a Rotten Tomatoes, but if it did, it would be less than 7%, I guarantee you. Another Uwe Boll classic, Far Cry, which I did not know had a movie.
Oh,
no, I didn't
what?
Know that either.
That was direct to DVD.
Is this guy funding this shit himself?
I don't know.
How does he get away with this?
He finds people. He finds people. A lot of the things that he does, they're overseas. So when he films in like Germany or wherever, whatnot.
Yeah, because he's German.
He's German. Okay. He'll film overseas and get people to fund it because they like it over there.
Really?
Wow.
At 6%, just under your postal, is a Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li.
That was horrible.
So bad. Taboo from the Black Eyed Peas is in there as Vega.
Yep.
Oh, that's
oh,
so garbage.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't terrible. Know if this is a mistake or if there are just no reviews on it, but at 0% is Tekken.
No, I was going to bring up Tekken. Tekken is actually worse than DOA.
Yeah?
Easily worse than DOA. And I think the dude who played Shang Tsung in the first Mortal Kombat movie, I think he plays Heihachi. In the Tekken movie, and he's garbage.
At 7%, tied with our lowest, was Silent Hill Revelation.
Haven't seen the it.
Second
one.
Okay, that was the second
one. The
first
one
was decent.
The first one was decent. The second one, they totally deviate from any production value they put into the first one.
Oh.
And
Boromir doesn't die in the second
to
one.
See it, so.
And that is the list here of whatever was lower than what we picked or what you picked.
So that's the worst.
That's the worst of the worst.
Okay.
And I think one of the ways to really just kind of highlight like the fact that why it's the worst for me personally, and I'm pretty sure you guys kind of have the same thing, is how much the film chooses to not honor like the source material. Like here, you guys are video game podcasters, so you value video games.
Great observation.
No joke. And so with that,
very
you actually, there's much more of an importance for them to actually attempt it, to see that kind of transit into my realm, which is video or movies.
Yeah.
And I think it's really weird to see them still attempt doing those when, like I said earlier, my theory is I don't think there's ever going to be, in all honesty, a good video game movie adaptation, like a pure or plausible reason.
Well, let's see what we got here, because now we're going to go over the best, I assume. So maybe
we'll go over maybe not the best, but our favorites. What is
there
your
we go. No, you
favorite.
Start with you over there on that side.
Well, I figure we'll go in the same direction.
Okay. Favorite, because I'm the only one who's seen it at this table, so it kind of makes it easy to talk about to some extent. Rampage. So the recent film done by Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Brad Peyton was the director on that one. it stars him. It stars, what's his name? The guy who played Negan.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan. He's in it as well. The film is fun. It's not trying to make it seem like it's according to any structure that the video game has, because if you've looked, and I did the research because we did a review on the Filmosophers, there is no original storyline to the video game.
It's just to destroy the arcade, you know,
just destroy the hell out of the city. So you take that and like, okay, we can build on this. And they had fun with it, and there's a lot of unique aspects to it that I really enjoyed. The CG work was great, and the fact that you see Dwayne The Rock Johnson fighting alongside this massive gorilla against a primordial-looking ginormous crocodile and a wolf from Straight Outta Hell.
See, I'm into that.
That is cool.
Did they use the names? Because, like, the original names for them were, like, Larry and, you know, they each of the animals had
I remember.
I think. So did they give them those names in
the
movie?
I think the only one that had the name was the gorilla.
Okay.
The gorilla had a name.
That's what it starts
with, right? Because that's who it starts with. Like, so Dwayne The Rock Johnson, he's some type of zoologist. He works for this large preserve, and one of his, you know, animals that he looks after is the gorilla. And there is this satellite or, like, this fixture in the sky. Yeah. In the sky that has an accident, and it blows up because there is a ginormous rat that is running rampant on the shuttle.
Oh, my God.
Which, mind you, if you played the game, you remember during the times while you played it, there was a giant rat that would run across the bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So in the movie, they actually do that little honoring, and you see in one of the scenes how in the back this huge-ass rat just goes and runs by. So
the gorilla's name is George.
George. Yep.
Yep, that was the name of the gorilla in the game. And so this substance that they were testing and whatnot, this company was testing, falls to Earth. One lands near George's area. He touches it, gets infected, and it is making him grow massively and disproportionately to his normal growth. Two other ones land elsewhere, one near a swamp, one near like this high mountain ridge.
That's where we get the wolf and Lizzie. I remember the
yeah.
Wolf.
Yeah, yeah. So the crocodile's name is Lizzie. Is it a rat? I'm trying to.
The other
something's
one is
name is Ralph.
No, that's like that's the wolf.
That's the wolf.
Yeah,
wolf.
The mutated wolf is Ralph. The ape is George, and the crocodile is Lizzie. They did give them all the names in the movie.
Oh, they did.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, this is all. I'm reading the synopsis of the movie right now.
Like, nice. I'm not a huge fan of movies that just look so ridiculous that there's no point in enjoying it because I'm just too focused on the ridiculousness. That's why I can't do a lot of bad B movies. Sharknado is one of those ones that I just can't really stand. So you look at this film, and as much as I was like, I was looking for a reason to not like it when I went to go see it, truth of the matter was, I was actually having a really good time from beginning to end because of how...
What's the fucking Rock, dude?
I know! And that's what I'm saying. You have somebody who can help create the story, help create something new that I'm not used to.
When you see the Rock, you're not expecting, like...
Yeah.
You can just open up your mind to whatever's going to happen.
Let's be real. That man could win an Oscar if he really wanted to.
If he wanted to,
yeah.
He
just
doesn't
likes
have
to
yet?
Make us all
no.
smile.
But because
he just wants to make us all smile.
He just wants to work out on Instagram and make us all smile.
Yeah.
That's all.
That's all. He could get an Oscar if he wanted to, but he doesn't need it.
So
he's fine.
That's my favorite.
I love him.
That was my most fun favorite choice of video game movie adaptations.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, just for anybody who wants to catch it and maybe has HBO or HBO Go, it's on there right now.
Oh, nice.
I'm watching it when I get home.
I was looking for movies to watched last night, and I was hovering on it.
Yeah,
and I knew we had this topic, but I watched something about Mary instead. Sorry,
got a little hair gel there.
So the obviously the further we get into the present and closer we get to where we are now, the budget is going to get much much higher. So the budget for this movie was 120 to 140 million.
Okay.
Box office 428 million.
Good job.
Not shabby.
Good job.
Which is why I got greenlit for a sequel.
And a whopping 53% on Rotten Tomatoes.
There
okay.
you go.
Okay.
I'll take that.
Up there.
And I was reading an article earlier
half.
Today on like just various video game movies, and they were kind of ranking them from like worst to best and things like that. And I remember one of the specific things it talked about with Rampage is like, Rampage is a very good video game movie. It netted over 50% in critic reviews. And I was like,
that's
oh,
the bar
the
we have
bar
set, people.
Is so low.
We have
the
set
bar.
The bar so low.
That's where it is.
Curtis, what is your number one favorite?
Okay, so I thought we were doing best worst, but it seems
or the best that you think is the best.
Okay, well, all right. If we're talking about the best,
it's okay, man. It's okay.
Favorite is different, and that may come up later.
Okay,
if we
that was my best. That. If that helps you,
okay,
in my verbiage,
okay.
That was my best, in my opinion.
So if we're talking about adaptations and best, I'm actually going to go back to the first successful video game movie, Mortal Kombat, the first one.
Finish him.
Had the characters in there, the storylines and everything were, I mean, pretty much from the game.
Let's just say this. I don't know if you feel the same way. I definitely think Mortal Kombat, of all the fighting games, has the best story. Like, I feel like they've committed to good storylines for, I mean, not all of them, but like Mortal Kombat Deception had a fucking really sick story mode and like an RPG and a nice twist at the end. Like, I was really surprised by how good it was. It wasn't like King of Iron Fist Tournament. Every time they come around, you're trying to win. This one was like, you know, the world's best. You got Shadow Realm, which is actually really fucking nasty and cool. Like, they got those Baraka dudes over there, and there's like different realms, and then they cross, and the gods got to keep them in line, and then they had this tournament, and and Earth's best have to come together, and it's they did a good job in telling that story.
Yeah, I mean, that one came later, and they had time to kind of get it better, but they didn't start off far off from that. I mean, it was a story of like the Chosen, and then you had like some, because you know Street Fighter was obviously out at the time, and they went a different route. They had the movie star guy, which was
Johnny Cage.
Yep. They had Sonya Blade. The important thing is they took the characters, they took the villain, Shang Tsung. They casted well for the parts, too. The guy who played Shang Tsung was incredible. He gave a really good performance.
What's his name? I interviewed the guy.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we were at Comic-Con together, we were reporting, and you actually got in for the panel, the press panel for Man in High Castle.
Man in High Castle.
And there, I just remember this dude sending me pictures like, look who I'm interviewing.
I'm with Shang Tsung.
I remember the pictures coming in, I'm like, you suck. I was over here doing some third-rate TV show or something. I don't know. Stranger Things.
His name is Kari Hiroyuki Tagawa.
Okay. Yes. Okay, that also. Your soul is mine.
Dude, like, that dude was raw. That is burnt into my memory. I could see the angle, his hair, like the look on his face.
It's time.
Yes.
Well, all that. I don't know about you guys, but he played pretty much a bad guy or a henchman in just about every single, like, martial arts film that came stateside.
Yeah, just like Tekken.
Exactly. But while I was watching a lot of those movies and playing Mortal Kombat, I'm like, in my mind, that was my like first ever fan cast ever in the history of my life. I'm like, if they ever made a movie about this, that guy would be so great at Shang Tsung, like perfectly.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
It was good.
Mortal Kombat was released in 1995.
Nice.
With a budget of $18 million.
Okay, so decent budget.
So to put that in perspective, it's $3 million less than what Dead or Alive had to work with.
Okay. and that's not even accounting for inflation.
And 10 years earlier.
I was just going to say, and 10 years earlier.
A full 10 years earlier. Box office net $122 million.
There you go.
Successful.
So 10 years earlier, $3 million less, but over $100 million more. Yeah.
Directed by Paul W.S. Anderson.
It was at number one at the box office for 3 weeks.
Dang. So this was a blockbuster. Christopher Lambert.
However, not critically well received at all.
No, it was not.
It got a 38% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay, I thought it was going to be a little higher. I thought it was maybe going to be like 41.
And it's one of the top reviews says, quote, despite an effective otherworldly atmosphere and appropriately cheesy visuals, Mortal Kombat suffers from a poorly constructed plot, laughable dialogue, and subpar acting.
Not to mention, you got to remember as well, this was at the height of the mom movement of like, violent video games make violent kids, and we're not going to stand for this and this, this, and that. So when the movie came out, there was a big protest against it because of that. So that pretty sure had some
fueled it.
What was the rating on it?
Rated
R, rated PG-13. I think it was PG-13.
PG-13. Okay. Yeah, according to this, I'm on IMDb.
Oh, there you go.
Yep. PG-13. Perfect. Yeah, and Paul W.S. Anderson directed it, and he is also the director of my favorite video game franchise, which everybody hates, Resident Evil.
Yeah,
I love every single one of those movies except for the very last one, and it's only because of the editing.
We're gonna pray for you.
Yeah, please do.
I tried. I downloaded like all five of them because I'd never seen any of them. I think I got through three, and I was like, I need to take a step away from this for a couple of years.
Yeah, yeah.
A couple years. I'll
once you get to part three, that's when part three starts going like, is this still the same movie franchise?
But here's the thing. Once you get past that one, then it gets kick-ass again because 4 and 5 were dope.
It's kind of like the whole situation with Mission Impossible 2, how Mission Impossible completely derails every momentum that the first one had.
Right.
And you're like, yeah, I'm done with this. And then 3 totally brings it back.
Right.
So it's like that.
It's like that.
Okay. Curtis, then maybe I'd be willing to give it a shot.
Curtis, did you watch the Mortal Kombat Legacy
series? Oh, yes.
Was that the web series?
That was the web series.
Yeah. I saw some of that.
Michael Jai White as Jax.
Yeah, heck yeah, dude.
They did a good job on those, though.
They did. They did a solid job.
That's
on
probably
those.
Better than any of the movies on this list.
That's true. There's actually a second season to that.
Is there?
Yeah, but the second season was crap, though, wasn't it?
I haven't seen it.
Okay. I thought I saw some of it. I heard it was bad.
Damn.
Yeah, budget went down.
Who next?
All right. So I feel like it's important to preface this with there are no good ones.
Right. They all suck a little bit.
There are no good ones. So originally I kind of had like a tie between two, but the more I think about it, the more that's just not true. They're just both reasonably fun to look at because they don't look like shit. But originally I had a tie between the Assassin's Creed movie and the Tomb Raider movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the more I think about that, the more I can take out which
Tomb Raider?
The new one with Alicia Vikander.
Okay. Okay, just making sure.
Yeah, yeah, no.
I mean, we just got to clarify.
I did enjoy the Angelina Jolie movies.
I'm a huge fan of John Voight, but I mean...
Good stuff.
Skinny Gerard Butler.
The very skinny Gerard Butler. Very pre-jacked Gerard Butler in Cradle of Life. But no, so, and the more I think about it, the more I got to throw Assassin's Creed out of there, because, like, it's a visually impressive movie in some ways, but... Mm-hmm. It's bad.
Well, before we went on the air, we were actually, I think the conversation we had kind of dissuaded you.
It turned me, because it made me think about the movie again, and I was like, oh, wait a minute.
It really is that bad, isn't it? So
that one was such a disappointment, and we talked about it before, because I was so ready for the Assassin's Creed movie.
Yeah.
Because Michael Fassbender is a fan of the series. Mm-hmm. He's played the games. He wanted the movie to happen. He really, like, he believed in it. He fought for years to make it happen, because there was always stories like, it's getting made, and it's canceled. It's getting made. Like, and he wanted it. He was starring in it. He produced it.
Yeah, he pulled it out of development hell, I believe.
He did, single-handedly. He Ryan Reynolds this movie.
Yeah, he totally
except
did.
Except it was no Deadpool. No.
Well, and we were talking about, this movie is just, it's not a nobody's cast list. There's some known names in this.
Jeremy Irons.
Yep.
Marion Cotillard. Michael Fassbender, of course, who's phenomenal.
He's incredible,
but it's one of those things, like, if you know the game, it's a horrible adaptation.
Yeah.
It's just awful. And if you don't know the game, it's a bad movie.
Yeah. That's true. There you go.
Like, the best parts of the movie are the parts in the past. The parts that are in the present don't really make a whole lot of sense. The animus, the direction they went with it was really bad. But to kind of put that aside and say, like, I technically would say my best is the new Tomb Raider, which also has its issues.
True, very true.
What was wrong with that one?
A lot.
I know the only issue I had is that Camilla Luddington wasn't...
That was a bummer.
Yeah.
But it was less of a bummer in that I'm obsessed with Alicia Vikander, and I think she's gorgeous and incredibly talented. I fell in love with her in Anna Karenina, and I've been obsessed with her ever since.
Yeah, I've been a fan with her ever since The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yes! Yes! Yeah. That is a fantastic movie that not enough people love.
Army Hammer?
Henry Cavill.
Emma needs to stop by the Filmlosopher
Studio. I think we need to have you come through and sit in on one of our episodes and join us.
But there, you got to watch the mouth over there on the Filmlosophers. They're definitely for educational audience.
Well, fuck it then. You take all of me or none of me. But the Tomb Raider movie is, again, it's one of those that, for the most part, it's pretty to look at. It has a high budget and they use it well. I did have some issues with, the idea that she crash lands on this remote island, but the entire movie, in my opinion, feels like a set. There's not a whole lot of large establishing shots. It feels very cramped and close, and they were filming on a set, and they didn't have a lot of space. It's a weird adaptation of the game. They take some stuff from the first game.
Okay.
They take the villain's name from the first game, but the guy from the second game, and kind of mesh them together.
Yeah, no, it sucks.
It's one of those things, like, it's pretty.
Yeah.
It is visually well made.
That's good.
It's written okay.
Okay.
And I kind of feel like that's the top of the bar here.
It's like, and that's all. That's all we can fit in the box.
That's really as much as we can hope for at this point.
Who was the director?
That is a good question.
I'm curious.
That I will look at right now.
Yeah.
Directed by Roar Uthog.
Yes. Yes, R-O-A-R, Roar Uthog.
What else is
he's
he done?
He's a Danish director.
Okay. I haven't heard of a single other movie he's done. He did The Wave, Escape, Magic Silver, Cold Prey, The Martin Administration.
Which, mind you, The Wave. So The Wave was actually a fantastic movie about this dam that breaks in Denmark. it's incredible, and the CG work in it is by far some of the best I've seen in a film not done by somebody well known.
Okay,
so he's good.
He's good.
Okay, yeah.
So he can do really good stuff.
Okay.
I may just question how much knowledge he had of the actual source material and familiarity with it.
One of my favorite things is that there are scenes in that movie that are like shot for shot pulled from that game.
Okay.
In particular, the scene where she is climbing the airplane, the old airplane that's crashed, you know, however many years ago. She's climbing on it to try and get somewhere, and she falls into the water, and you have that whole scene. Like, that is ripped right out of the game, and they did it really well.
Yeah.
And I really appreciated that. They have puzzles in it. They have that whole puzzle scene with her in the tomb.
Yeah.
The storyline with her father was very odd and didn't make any sense.
Okay.
And was not from the game at all. Because in the game, he's just dead.
Yeah.
But in the movie, spoiler alert, she goes to the island, or she ends up on the island after she crashes there, and he happens to be there.
Yeah.
Who's there but her father, who's supposed to be dead? How fucking convenient and weird. And he's been marooned there for however many decades. And
yeah.
Seems like a throwback plot device. Like, that seems like it was pretty common in other stuff.
True. Like, especially if you're wanting somebody who's the main source of inspiration for the main character, you're gonna want that like full comeback to be like, oh, and this is why she can't give up, because her dad is still here, kind of thing. It's you're right, it is a device that they've used in several movies. It's an overused device. Nevertheless, it's still something that they would use.
And much like all of those other devices, if I remember correctly, he dies at the end. He like sacrifices himself to save them.
Oh yeah, yeah. They always do that. You know, the one movie
like she finally finds him and she's reunited with him and they're gonna live happily ever after, and then something happens and he sacrifices himself to save all of them.
That's another trope. Like, that's a trope of the person who's like stuck somewhere, you know, who you haven't seen in a while.
Finally escaping.
And then you see they're alive, and then they're like usually one of the first ones to die giving their life for everybody else. The one that didn't do that I thought that broke the trope was the King Kong movie. When, John C. Reilly's character, who was stuck there, actually makes it home.
Yeah.
And he hasn't, like, aged or whatever.
Kong Skull Island.
Yeah, Kong Skull Island. And then that was the whole ending sequence, was, like, how he came back to, like, it was kind of a comedy sequence.
Where he mentioned when he gets back, he's going to have a hot dog and sit down and watch a Dodgers game or a Yankees game or whatever. And the end credit scene is him walking into his door. There's no big fanfare or anything. He walks in, has a hot dog in hand, and sits down on the couch, turns on the tube, and watches a baseball game.
That was so gangster that they did that. I've never seen that broken
trope
before.
Broken.
So the one last thing that I just remembered as we're talking about tropes and things that change, one of the biggest things that bugged me about this is they took all of the mysticism out of the game.
Yeah.
So in the original Tomb Raider, like, well, not the original, the original reboot of the Tomb Raider, it's about going to Yamatai and trying to figure out, you know, why all these ships are crashing here, and you find out, you know, there's this ancient Japanese sun queen, and that actually all ends up being real.
Nice.
In the movie, it comes down to science. It's that
It's more biological than it is.
Yeah, it was a biological like disease. Mysticism. They open up the tomb. If you touch her, you like basically disintegrate. Yeah. And it all comes down to like it's science, and they just didn't understand at the time, so they called it magic.
Yeah,
right. I don't like that.
Tried to put the film into a sense of realism for the viewer, so that way it's not campy. It's not the ridiculous video game movie. This movie actually has a leg in the realistic options that could happen in real life.
Yeah.
Like, there could be a disease that eats you the moment you touch it, or just dissolves your skin or whatnot. So,
So this movie came out last year, I believe. Okay. Budget $90 to $105 million. And box office $275 million.
Which wasn't bad.
Not too shabby at all.
Not too shabby.
And it got a whopping 51% on Rotten.
So it's over the hump.
There we go. The mark of
it's in rampage striking distance.
That it is.
So my turn.
Your turn.
Yes.
I have an honorable mention. I'd like to say first, Doom.
Yes. Oh my God!
Another
that
one
was
with the Rock.
For my worst.
No way!
Yeah, that was gonna be. One, yeah.
I got one
you know
word
what?
For
I
you.
I don't know. I just go ahead.
Chainsaw.
Yeah.
That chainsaw scene where it goes first person.
First person point of view.
Made the whole hardcore Henry.
Yeah, that made
the Semper Fi, motherfucker.
Yeah.
The Rock, honey, I love you, but why?
That's before he.
That was
like,
Oscar worthy. Shoot.
That man could win an Oscar if he wanted to. He just didn't want to.
It was Razzie worthy.
I like those movies, though. It's kind of like Predator-esque, mm-hmm. you know, where there's like the mystery and, you know, they're getting picked off one by one, you know, and it had guns and The Rock and Carl Urban's jaw.
Oh, that was Carl Urban.
He's the main character. That's He's the main protagonist.
It's a decent, it's a solid flick, guys. I'd recommend going back. Again, I watched this in the theaters.
Yeah.
I went out with my boy Derek Voss, who helped me build this studio, because that's what we would do. Just on weekends, we'd go hit up Taco Bell, get extra large Mountain Dews, go hit up a stupid movie, and then play video games for 24 hours.
I forgot Rosamund Pike was in this movie.
Rosamund Pike was in that too?
Yeah.
Wow.
Such
Pride
a good
and Prejudice.
Movie. Let's go. See, look at the
honey. Actually, what year was this? Because she did Pride and Prejudice in 2005, and this movie
this
was
before 2005.
This is the
wasn't
same
it?
Year as Pride and Prejudice.
No way.
She did this the same year. Yeah. Oh my God, honey, who
one
was your agent?
One for the art, one for the bank.
No.
There you go.
That's versatility.
Which is really funny about that, because in that movie, top billing was The Rock. But yeah. Carl Urban is the entire main character.
But in the cast list that I'm looking at, he's at the bottom.
Yeah.
There's a twist. There's a huge plot twist in that movie. It's so good.
Yeah.
And that's a good movie. But the number one for me is the Warcraft movie. I dug it.
Nice.
Warcraft.
It
was good.
I thought it was amazing how they produced it. Like, when they were filming that, they had like a row of computers rendering the shit as they were going so they could... For like, I just
in the mocap.
Yeah, I can't even fathom just the processing that took to make it happen. And then
it was a pretty movie, but was it a good movie?
I really like what's his name, Fimmel, who's the Vikings guy.
Fimmel, I think, is the right name.
Yeah, I think that's his name. I don't know. He was from
Travis Fimmel.
Travis Fimmel from Vikings. He's basically playing the same character as he does from Vikings. He's like the night guy. It looked amazing, and it's a tale as old as time. I didn't play a lot of Warcraft, so I think that gave me an advantage.
Have heard, though, that if you didn't play World of Warcraft, it was an okay movie, and if you play World of Warcraft, it's garbage.
See, that's what I had heard. It was like the hardcores were the ones who were like really pissed off about it.
And I'm a huge fan of Dominic Cooper and Ruth Negga, so which are the two main, the king and queen in the film.
Ruth Negga's awesome.
Yeah, no joke. But I think that kind of just boils down to the main question then, the fact of who are video game movies being made for? Because for us here, we can appreciate it to a certain level, but because of our area of expertise, it's like, well, why the hell did you do that? That makes no sense. The story was fine in the video game. Whereas people who have no clue, they're like, oh, this is great. I finally have an idea of what Assassin's Creed is about.
Or like, no, you don't.
Or like,
no,
oh, you mean this is what Super Mario is about? The Mario and the Nintendo thingy?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just boils down to like, who are they making these movies for?
Movies with great stories are worse because there's no way you can capture in an hour movie the greatness you get of like a 30-hour immersive experience.
That's
kinda
the hardest thing about making gaming movies.
Kind of like what you had said at the beginning. And then on the other side of that, series. We'll see what happens with Witcher. No, not like Resident Evil. No, Curtis.
Bad Curtis.
Bad
Curtis.
But like, but we're getting The Witcher. You know, we'll see what happens with that.
We'll see. Yeah. So Warcraft had a budget of $160 million.
Good. Yeah.
So it had the biggest budget out of all of our top movies.
Okay.
But it also had the biggest return, $433 million.
Hell yeah.
Thank you.
Worldwide
China.
Box offices.
Okay. That did movie really well in China.
Yeah.
It
blew up big time in China.
However, it is the lowest rated out of all of our top movies with a 28%.
Because that's based on U.S. Rotten Tomato scores.
Yeah.
It doesn't include China. Rotten Tomatoes score.
Oh, so this whole time we weren't taking into account Chinese? Oh, see, this whole episode, can we re-record it?
Yeah, start from the beginning. There you go.
Yeah, start from the beginning.
Back.
Damn.
But, I mean, like, who gives a fuck what it got rated when it made a gazillion dollars, right?
That's true. Yeah.
Where's the sequel to that? That's what I want to know. Because it did end a spot where it was going to get way more epic. Like, mm-hmm. I kind of wish that whole movie was maybe just the prologue, and then you get into what they were about to get, where's the king or whatever.
And it is worth noting that we're kind of just talking about live action movies right now.
Yeah. There's a ton of animated ones. There's a ton of CG ones. I mean, the Final Fantasy franchise in terms of film.
What was the I almost said the one in space. But like it had space in the name. Final Fantasy fucking, it came out in like 2000 something.
It was a Final Fantasy movie though.
The Spirits Within.
Yeah, that was the first one.
I loved that movie. I'm pretty sure it's horrible, but I loved that movie.
I actually went to the theaters to see it.
It's so good.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that. I had no clue. I hadn't been playing Final Fantasy, but I went to go see it.
I didn't know.
I still had no clue what Final Fantasy was about.
No way. I had no idea. This movie came out when
I was
six. I was 6 years old when that movie came out. I did not know Final Fantasy was a game. I didn't know what it was. And somehow I ended up with the DVD. And I freaking love that movie. And I've watched it a million times.
You had DVDs when you were six?
I did.
Ooh.
Or, well, maybe it was VHS. Fuck, I don't remember.
Was Cloud in it?
No.
Cloud was
it. Has, like, nothing to do with the games whatsoever. Oh, okay. It's not even... I don't know why it's called Final Fantasy.
The naming rights.
Well, and that's not even including, like we were talking about earlier, like the movies that were inspired by video games or movies that actually ended up inspiring video games to be made from them, like Tron. Mm-hmm. You have movies like The Last Starfighter. You had a ton of things that came about as of, you know, being inspired by the film itself to create a video game.
Unless we forget how these things don't go well the other way. Like video games that get turned into, movies that have been turned into video games or have adaptations
not
are
a lot
usually
of good ones.
Pretty shitty. Like, if not worse. Especially those ones that have, like, the actors in it. Like the
Home Alone ones?
Though,
there were Home Alone
there were two of them for the NES, Game Boy. And because as much as you're a fan of The Gaming Historian, I'm a fan of Cinema Massacre, which also is the guys who do Angry Video Game Nerd.
Yeah, that dude's hilarious.
So he did a whole thing with Macaulay Culkin doing a sit through
that was great.
All the
really?
Games. Yeah, it's hilarious.
I was thinking of they did it a lot, even with Wolverine. When the first Wolverine movie came out, there was like a Hugh
wasn't
Jackman
game. Pretty good, though?
I played it on my bachelor party.
And then they made a game. They made a game of the Origin Wolverine one. The X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yes.
They made a game adaptation of that one.
Oh,
and that was god awful.
Yeah.
So we've got two more live actions coming this year that could add to this list.
What do we got?
Detective Pikachu and Sonic the Hedgehog, which both are going to be garbage.
Wait, Detective Pikachu? Oh, yeah, that was a game. That's right.
Both are going to be garbage.
It's true. I agree 100%.
I think Detective Pikachu looks like crap.
High five there. High five here. Come on. Thank you.
Looks so terrible. Bad.
Sorry.
Well, that was a great conversation. Thank you for leading that one for us, Emma Skies. Let us know what you guys think. If you did like the show and enjoyed it, hit us up on Twitter at Video Game Bang. Tell us what your favorite and least favorite video game movie was, and we'll tell you how you're probably right because they're all equally terrible.
I do want to point out that many people in chat, and we didn't talk about this because it's a whole different genre, but there was a fan film for Uncharted starring Nathan Fillion that was brought up many a time in
Nathan
chat.
Nathan Fillion, Stephen Lang. Yeah,
I can't count it though. Didn't have a box office.
It was a fan film.
There
was
a short film
release.
Yeah,
it wasn't directly tied to.
We're talking like theatrical releases.
Theatrical releases,
which is a big push for them actually starting to actually make one soon. Mm-hmm. Which they are technically. Tom Holland's attached to it.
Pocket Asian in chat says it has an IMDb page, so it counts.
All right.
There you go.
Who are we to argue with that? Thank you guys so much for listening. If you guys enjoyed the episode and you're listening to this on your phone or iTunes or whatever, please rate the show 5 stars. Give it a little bit of feedback. Hit that subscription button and show up maybe one of these days. We do this show live on Wednesday evenings and Saturday nights, and you can interact. And it's a whole lot of fun. But that's our show. For Eddie Villanueva, Curtis Fisher, Emma Skies, my name is Corey, saying you've just been banged.